in the struggle for survival.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Just a Voice, the radio ministry of Global Restoration Ministry. Hi, I'm Pastor Philip Upton. Here at Global Restoration Ministry, our desire is to prepare the body of Christ for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by restoring foundational truths and earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Join us as we go into a word from the Word. Come on, let's go.
Today I want to talk to you about a very important matter, about the power of the tongue. I'm going to talk to you about the power of the spoken word in the mouth of a believer. That means that your word carries weight and substance. Now, the Bible tells us over in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25, it says, God says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake and will not remember thy sin. Then he says this, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare that thou mayest be justified. So I want you to understand something, that the courts of heaven is a very legal situation. It's a place where the enemy comes to exercise his rights. Remember when Job, in the book of Job, that day that the sons of God came before, and also it says that Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence cometh thou? And Satan answered and said, he said, from going to and fro in the earth, walking up and down in it. And so, in other words, Satan comes before God. In Revelation 12:10, Satan is called the accuser of the brethren, which accuses us before God both day and night. So it says here in the courtroom, I want you to get this image in your mind. Anybody ever remember the old sitcom called Perry Mason? Well, in this case, the prosecutor, which was Berger in the sitcom, would always try to bring charges against Perry Mason's client, whatever their client may be. We've never seen Perry Mason lose a case on his show. Now, let's look at it in the courts of heaven. You got Satan, who is the accuser. You got Jesus, who is your advocate. You got the judge, which is your heavenly Father. And it's you who are standing on trial. But God says this in verse 26. He says, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare that thou mayest be justified. So what is God saying? God said, listen, put me in remembrance of my word. Speak my promises back unto me. Declare that you know the things that you have a right to. When we say, Lord, I have a right to healing for my body. For the scripture says that by his stripes I am healed. And when the devil comes to try to bring accusation in order to allow sickness to remain in your body. Understand this, it is about a war over your words. The Bible said, by your words thou shalt be justified, also by your words thou shalt be condemned. Now what does that mean? That doesn't mean that God is condemning us. But what it does mean is that sometimes we speak things out of our mouth that gives the enemy access to bring condemnation or to bring sickness or disease into our life for the things that we say. That's Matthew 12 and 35. He says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bring forth good things, but an evil man out of the evil treasures bring forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account of in the day of judgment. For by thy words shall thou be justified, and by thy words shall thou be condemned. So what is it? It's a war over your words. The enemy is looking for information that he can use against you. Well, how's this happen? Well, the Bible said, by his stripes you're healed. But you go to the doctor, and the doctor said, listen, here's the x-rays. Here's the lump. You can feel the pain. It's malignant. You got cancer. You're going to die. Now, although the doctor is speaking facts, his information really contradicts what God has said about you. So the information that the doctor is giving you is really a lie. Understand about facts. facts are subject to change based on more information. Give you an example. There was a time that man couldn't fly in a plane. Then the Wright brothers, who invented flight, found out that if they put the law and lift and thrust into place, it would supersede the law of gravity, and then they shaped the plane that made it aerodynamic. And so now, the law of lift and thrust didn't cancel out the law of gravity, but it superseded the law of gravity, and it made gravity temporarily non-effective as long as they stay within the law of lift and thrust. As long as you stay within the law or the promises of God, the law of sin and death, sickness and disease, will be ineffective in your life. It didn't say it wasn't going to come, but if you're going to change the situation, you cannot come into agreement with what the doctor has said. You have to stay resolute and focused on what God has said. Let God be true, and let every man be a liar. In Romans chapter 3, verse 3, he says, "For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true and every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mayest be justified in thy sayings, and might overcometh when thou art judged." See, here we go again. You're standing in the courtroom of God. Every time you declare the promises of God, Satan has no legal authority to make sickness a part of your body and to make it effective in your life. He didn't say the weapon wasn't going to form. Remember, he said, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper." And so if you want to keep that weapon of sickness or disease, poverty and lack, insufficiency, not enough, depression, or whatever the case may be, from forming, or should say from prospering, then you have to change it with the Word of God. You and I are faced with three things: lies, facts, and truth. These three things battle against the facts. The fact may be that you're broke. The fact may be that you're weak in your body. But the truth says, let the weak say, "I'm strong." Let the poor say, "I'm rich." So what is Jesus telling us when he tells us these things? Is he just pulling our leg? Is this just some oxymoron that he's putting out there? No, he's saying if you want to change your weakness state, start declaring that you're strong. Because scripture tells us his strength is made perfect in our weakness. And so we have to understand what God is doing. He said, if you want to change the situation, don't speak on what you have, speak on what you want. In Daniel, you remember when Daniel chapter 10, when Daniel began to pray, Daniel had prayed 21 days, and the angel Gabriel had been dispatched to Daniel with the answer. And the angel, when he showed up, he said, "Daniel, beloved of God, understand that God loves you." He said, "On the first day that you begin to pray and to afflict yourself, I was dispatched with the answer." When? On the first day that you begin to ask God and petition. He said, "But the prince of Persia hindered me 21 days, Gabriel, from getting the request over to Daniel. For 21 days. But," he said, "the prince of Persia hindered me." But he had to call for Michael, the archangel, that angel that standeth up for the children of God. He had to call Michael to hold off the prince of Persia so he could get to Daniel to give him the answer. And then after the answer was delivered, he said, "I got to return to the battle because now the prince of Persia has brung the prince of Grecia over." Now, if we look at those two territories today, we see right now over in the regions of Iran, which is Persia, we see that there's a battle going on right now between Israel and Iran, Hamas, Hezbollah, and all these other groups that are over there fighting, which are more spiritual entities than they are natural entities. And we have to understand the things that we see manifesting in the natural first manifested in the spirit. Psalms 103, it says, "The Lord has prepared his throne in heaven. His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, which excel in strength, which do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word." See, the angels, they hearken unto the voice of the word of God, or the word of God that you give voice to. This is why the scriptures say, "By thy words thou shalt be justified, when you speak in the promises of God, the word justification means that you have been justified in the eyes of God and you have a right to the things that you declare because you're declaring what God has already promised. And all the promises of God are yea and amen. But when you allow the circumstances of life, your emotional condition, the infliction of the pain, or the circumstances that surround you control your tongue, you start speaking adverse things. And then the devil will take those words before God, the accuser of the brethren. He accuses us before God. And in that courtroom, he'll present his evidence, say, Judge, I have a right to afflict this individual with sickness because every time something happens to them, they say, boy, this, you make me sick. I can't stand you. You know, and they'll say words that give Satan authority to inflict them with the sickness. They'll feel the pain. They'll say, God, I thought you said I was healed. I don't see not myself getting better. And because you begin to doubt God, the Bible said, let God be true and every man be a liar. But because you begin to doubt God, now the enemy has a right to use your own words against you. Anybody ever seen a hockey game on the face-off when the referee drops the puck and then they're scrabbling to see who's going to get control of the puck? It's the same thing about your words. If you're dropping negative words, Satan is scrambling to get control over that puck. He's taking it to use it against you in the court of law, in the heavenly court of law. So this is why it's also said that the Lord does his the angels do the Lord's commandment and they hearken unto the voice of his word. In other words, when you start speaking negativity, the angels are not moving in your behalf. Demonic forces are. You're giving them more strength to use against you legally when they present their case saying, I have a right to afflict you because listen to what she or he says. And so we have to keep that in mind. And so now another thing I want you to look at today is this. Is in Psalms, it says that the angels do the Lord's commandments. They do his pleasure. What it says here, it says, bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts. That's in Psalms 103:21. Bless the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. So what is the pleasure of God? What is God's desire for you? Understand, God loves you. What is the pleasure of God? So let's go over and look at Psalms 35:27. Because the angels of God is to do God's pleasure. He said, let them shout for joy and be glad which favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. Verse 28, and my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. So your tongue is very important process in seeing God's promises come to pass in your life. God's will for your life is that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. The angels of God's job is to do God's pleasure, and God has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. So the angels' job is to prosper you, but they can only prosper you according to the promises or the word of God that God has already spoken. And when you come into agreement with the word of God, when you let that word be the primary authority in your mouth, when you begin to speak the promises of God, the angels move in your behalf. The problem is this. A lot of times, when we are speaking the promises of God, we don't see things manifest right away. You know, the Bible says that in Genesis, he says, as long as the earth remains, there'll be seed time and harvest time. See, what we fail to notice in that statement, there's going to be seed. That's the time that you're going to be planting the word of God, the promises of God. But in between the seed planting and the harvest, there is time. And during that time is when the enemy uses his strategies to get you to give up on your promise, to get you to take back the promises of God by looking at it and saying, I don't see anything getting better. I don't think this thing will ever happen to me. And now you have taken back what the promises of God was, and the angel has stopped the progress in bringing it to you. See, if Daniel had stopped and given up on his prayer, before the angel showed up, the angel would not have a legal right to come and to deliver the word, because you would have put something contrary out there that would cause the enemy to say, hold up, wait a minute, I got an injunction. I command his statement to be suppressed, because here is what he has just said. And so we got to be careful how we use our words. Now, we're going to be going over this for the next few weeks on the power of the spoken word in the mouth of a believer. Why is it saying in the mouth of a believer? Because your words are so powerful. Matthew chapter 18, God said, I've given you, 18:18, he said, I've given you the keys to the kingdom of God. He said, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So he's given us the keys to bind and loose. It even goes to the point that he says, listen, I've given you such authority that whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. But whoever sins you retain, they are retained. And when he told us over in Isaiah that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, he said, but every tongue that has risen up against us in judgment, we shall condemn. Why? For this is our heritage, and our righteousness is of the Lord. That means the reason that we have a right to that is because God has given us that authority. So we have to put a watch over our mouth. The Bible said that death and life is in the power of the tongue. How many times have we misused our words? How many times have we allowed the enemy to have access to our life or the life of our loved ones because we have said things contrary to the will of God? Because we have let our circumstances get so strong in our life that we begin to speak the circumstances instead of the promise. You get the eviction notice. You get the doctor's report. You hear the police report. You hear the economic report over the news. You hear about the wars and rumors of wars. You hear about viruses that are coming out. And instead of us looking at those things, understanding that we are the change agents in the earth, we are the ones that have the authority to get a prayer through, because we are the born-again believers of God. And we have been given the governance of this earth. So whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. So when we start repeating things, that's because we heard somebody else say it. Things are getting bad in the Middle East. There's a new virus that's coming up. And we went, child, did you hear what they said? Look like we're going to go to war any minute. Child, did you hear what they said? There's a new strain of virus. You better start getting your mask back on. Child, did you hear? See, I always want to know, who is they? And why do they have more authority in your life than God? When he said, let God be true and every man be a liar. So all those theys out there, they're speaking from the information that they receive from the world. But you and I are to be speaking the information that we receive from the word. This is why we have to live a Psalm 91 life. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Then you make your declaration. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. After that, everything under Psalm 91 is legally determined or explained by your declaration. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence. Every promise of God is based on you making God your refuge and your fortress, your God, in whom you trust. And when you make that declaration, the angels of God will cover thee in thy feathers. They will keep you from the terror by night, or the bullet that fly, the arrow that fly by night, or the stray bullet. You don't have to worry about those things. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. But God has promised that it won't come nigh you. Why? Because you made the Lord, which was your refuge, your fortress, your God, in whom you trust. And because you placed your trust in him, God said he's going to show you his great salvation. He'll deliver you. And so these promises come from you knowing who God is and keeping God in a place of authority in your life. Remember, you're in a spiritual battle, and the battle is over your words. So the enemy attacks us in our thought life. He attacks us in our mind. He tried to get us to say things that are not in line with the word of God. Over in James, it said, who can tame the tongue? It's a little member. and it boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defiles the whole body, and it set on fire the course of nature, and it set on fire of hell. Who can tame the tongue? The Bible said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. What do you mean by a double-minded man? A man who's thinking on the promises one day, but as soon as things get bad, he starts speaking the negativity. This is like the seed that was sown among the thorns. It sprung up. But because of the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, it choked the word and it became unprofitable. God is teaching us over and over and over again that we need to put a watch over our mouth. You need to be careful on what you allow to proceed out of your mouth, because what starts out as words end up being the reality of your life. In Genesis, when God began to create things, in Genesis chapter 1, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God created everything with his word. You are created in the image and in the likeness of God. That means not only do you look like him, but he's giving you the same potential that he has. Remember when Moses went up to the mount to get the Ten Commandments? And he wanted to see God. And God had to take him and hide him in the cleft of the rock. He said, "I'll show you all my back parts, but you cannot see my face." So what was he saying? Why is it that he cannot look upon the face of God? Because on the face of God, not only are there eyes, just like we have ears and a nose, but his mouth. His mouth is a spout where the glory of God comes out. It's so powerful that he could not look upon the face of God. And then when he put it in the cleft of the rock and say, "I'll show you my back parts," he wasn't talking about just showing my as I walk by my back. Moses wrote from Genesis. He wrote the first five books of the Bible. God gave him the first five books of the Bible, and he wasn't even born yet. How was he able to write Genesis, Exodus, and Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers? How was he able to write all this? Because God gave him the history of what he did and gave it for him to write down. He said, "But you cannot see my face." See, the Bible tells us that no man knows the mind of God that we may instruct him. But we do have the mind of Christ. What do you mean? Christ is the spoken will of God manifested in the earth and in the flesh. Everything we know about God is about what he has already spoken. And so God has given us in these last days the most powerful word in the universe. See, it's not just a word that we receive from the apostles and the prophets. He said, God who in Hebrews chapter 1, God who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, but hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. God in these last days has given us the most powerful word in the universe in the most purest form. This word comes directly from God's mouth to our ears. This word carries the same power that was used to create the word, the worlds. It has been given to us to change the world around us so that the world lines up with the word of God. Therefore, it's very important that we give heed to the instructions of the word of God. The word of God is the only thing that we can base our faith on. It is the only truth and the final authority in our lives. Since those of us have put their trust in the word of God, sometimes you need to know, well, can I really trust it? How much authority is in it? Remember Matthew 28, Jesus rose and said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Then he turned and he looked at you and I. He said, "Now go ye therefore and you teach all nations." The scriptures say, "When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" What is he talking about? Not just believing in God, but faith in operation. For we walk by faith and not by sight. The Bible said, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that will diligently seek him. God said, I've taken my name, my word, and I place it even above my name. So the word of God is powerful. It's so powerful. It says quick. It means it makes alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and that it is a discerner of the thought and the intent of the heart. God knows not only what you say, but he knows what's in your heart. Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of your heart, that your mouth will speak. Well, listen, beloved, I want to challenge you today that if you have not already given your life to Christ, you make that decision today. Everything I'm talking about is for the born-again believer. Because once you're born again, you have the authority of God working in your life. Repeat this prayer after me, if you will. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for my sins. Jesus, I receive you as Lord of my life. I confess you now. Forgive me, Lord. Receive me into your kingdom. Place me into the family and the household of God. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, for raising for my justification. Now, Lord, help me to live this life for you in a way that is pleasing in your sight. And I am determined now and always to give all of the praise, the honor, and glory unto you. For indeed, you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton, Global Restoration Ministry. I want to invite you out to service. We have service over at the Port St. Lucie Community Center every Sunday. That's at 2195 Southeast Oroso Boulevard. Service times at 10:30 to 12 o'clock. Come on and be a part of our service. If you need to reach me, you can call me at 772-267-1657. Hope to see you there.
All his blessings. Lord, use our voices. Lord, use our hands. Lord, use our lives.